Welcome to the Infinite Creators Podcast. I've had a great response with some amazing feedback from my first episode, which has given me more encouragement to continue and keep sharing. So I just want to take this moment to thank all of you who've tuned in and to express my gratitude for those of you who've tuned in for episode 2. You can also press the subscribe button so you'll get notifications each time I release a new podcast. It's been an interesting experience starting from scratch. Building from the ground up, it's a risk, but with the potential reward of giving knowledge to help and inspire others. I have this innate desire to be in service to others, and I feel this is the most practical and efficient way I can do that. This podcast is starting out with me sharing my life experiences, the mistakes I've learned from, the challenges I've overcome, how I've grown, how I see the universe, and how I feel existence. I know this podcast will add more knowledge and wisdom to my life, and as I progress, I will bring others on board to share their experiences and stories that I know will benefit others. To have deep conversations, to speak from a vulnerable place, because that's where true growth is. We gain strength through this process by overcoming the fear. We overcome new hurdles and continue to peel back layer after layer. I was at an event earlier this year, and one of the speakers said, "If you're scared of death, then you're scared of life." What that meant to me is that if you're not willing to follow your dreams, to step into your fears, to strive towards your infinite potential, then you're scared of living. You're scared of the force of life, which means you're scared of dying. And it has stuck with me since. So this is me stepping into that challenge to live fully and push towards my potential, as I want to exit this body knowing I've strived towards my infinite potential every day. Other reasons for exploring this podcast is that social media doesn't allow for an in-depth sharing experience because it's very transactional. Instant highs, we scroll over, like, move on within seconds, jumping from one page to another, whereas a podcast allows me to dive deeper in conversation, something that I really enjoy. So this is for the people who are explorers, deep divers, want to learn, have an open mind, keen on understanding themselves more, and to continue to keep tapping into the infinite wisdom, knowledge, and potential within you. My belief is that every human has a story to share, and it's through our own storytelling that we can help others. And just as I started typing, in this second, I put on some music to help me fall into rhythm and a productive flow. And the first song that came on is a song by Kelis called A Cappella. It has the lyrics, "Before you, my whole life was a cappella. Now a symphony's the only song to sing." So just let me explain. Every one of us is a symphony. And once we realize that, we can sing it. So this is my symphony. This is my song. I was brought into this crazy beautiful world by young parents by the names of Shauna and Charlie, who were 19 and 23. So I definitely wasn't planned. A huge surprise for my mother, something that she wasn't prepared for. I don't think anyone at that age could be prepared for. My understanding was that my ma and dad were just having a good time, something we do as young adults. Ma was still living at home with her parents and her siblings on the farm. And when she became pregnant, my grandfather, who was her father, was disappointed. The dam burst. The water between them created shores wide apart. This was the end of their relationship. She had to move out, not because of him, but because it wasn't possible to raise a kid in a 3-bedroom house with 6 younger siblings. She already had 2 older siblings who had kids and moved out. As parents, they weren't ready to move in together either. Plus, they didn't have much. Her amazing half-brother, Anthony, an older sibling from a previous family of 6 from my grandfather, and his beautiful wife, Mary, who lived next door, took her in and provided her with a bedroom, and that's where me and her spent my first year. Mary and Anthony assisted along with my ma's mother, my grandmother, Monica, her siblings for the first year until Dad was able to bring her to live with him in a bar above a bar called the Halfway House. This was located in Burnfoot, and we joined his brother, sister-in-law, and their two kids. But it was a bit crowded, so we ended up moving to another place in Burnfoot, a riverside bungalow, and my ma kept this place like a palace. So my childhood was split between two places, Burnfoot and Castlethird. My mother's farm was Castlethird. The summers were great. The family were amazing. It was a huge meeting point. Everyone in the area came to visit. It was, everyone was popular there. It was like a train station. All my relatives lived in rows of houses, and we were in stepping stones in age. The uncles were always active on the farm, their cousins always helping, so it was a big playground to explore, and helping out was fun. It was more about enjoying the work, having a good time, and the day always finished with some form of game. So many memories and stories from that place. The fun times are always easy, but one of the biggest challenges I had there was with my grandfather, a very hard working older generational man, very reserved, spent all day every day working on the farm or fishing during the summer. A very well respected man in the area, a man of few words. He sat in peace, taking everything in, but when he spoke, everyone stopped and listened. Known as Sean, he has since passed, rest in peace. But something I noticed from a very young age was that he didn't take me on. It was as if I didn't exist. He wouldn't look at me. Anytime I walked in, it was like I was a ghost. So I was scared of him. And what made it even more strange was that he would speak to my cousins who were the same age as me, right in front of me. So as a young boy, I would ask myself questions like, why doesn't he talk to me? What, I must have done something wrong? Am I not good enough? You know, I was shooting these questions into the dark without any answers. On my father's side, a lot of time was spent at the bar, the halfway house, which is a large space. And he also comes from a large family. He has 12 siblings, and in total there's 60 first cousins. On my ma's side, there's about 45 first cousins. So in total, over 100 first cousins. How Irish. But on my dad's side, there was a lot of us the same age, and there was a wide range of personalities, many different dynamics. We pushed each other in everything we did. It was a very competitive space. I would best describe it as a battleground. And as someone who was insecure and sensitive, growing up definitely challenged me with the emotions that I had in this environment. The one word that I would describe my dad's family as would be entrepreneurial. All of his siblings are very ambitious. They're all hard workers. They all run their own business. And growing up in this environment with these kinds of role models, I felt inspired, but I also felt that if I didn't achieve anything, that I would be a failure to the family. But it gave me a really good work ethic, but I also felt I need to do something, you know? So it gave me the desire and the belief that I could actually achieve when I would get older, because I really wanted to be like them. And that was a challenge that I took on, that I needed to be successful, and I was going to get there one way or another. The family gatherings were a big thing. There was so many weddings, parties and holidays as a unit. So as a family, we are a strong tribe. And I put that down to the mother, the grandmother, Annie, rest in peace, a powerful woman who kept everything woven, the captain of the ship. And her kids followed in an effortless way, bringing all of us together. Unfortunately, I didn't get to meet my grandfather, Johnny, as he had passed before I was born. Rest in peace. As a family, we get a lot of hate. When a large group of people, community, tribe, or family exist, it's easy to throw hate on when there's one person who has a run-in with someone else. And I have no doubt that many of my relatives have had run-ins with many people out there, myself included. But a lot of people continue to live in the past, holding grudges, unable to let go, and continue to throw hate. And this isn't just towards me or my family. Others, learn to let go and forgive. I grew up with Ma by my side. The one word that comes to mind is loyal. She never let me down. A full-time mother, and did everything that she could for me. Thinking about it now, fucking amazing. So grateful for that woman. On the other side, if I did something that was out of order, I surely knew about it. But she kept us together as a family. She was my rock, my superwoman. My relationship with my dad was somewhat flat. A very hard worker, you know, gone at 6 a.m. every morning and sometimes not back late at night. An amazing provider. He supported Ma with whatever she needed and wanted. We had our challenges in not understanding each other, and we didn't share any common interests. We were somewhat strangers to each other. I didn't feel like I was good enough to be his son, probably because we didn't have any shared interests. I wanted to like the things that he liked, but they just didn't click. So I never felt connected to him, and that for that reason, then I was less inclined to want to spend time with him. But I also didn't want to disappoint him. You know, I felt like I was sometimes an embarrassment to him. But I didn't know how to express this, so I just let it build up inside. But the older I got, the more the desire grew to connect on an emotional level, because I wanted to feel approved by him. And the only way I believed that that was possible was to just be like him, you know, but I wasn't him. So I had these challenges with my father and grandfather where I didn't feel seen, I didn't feel understood. And the grandfather challenge bothered me for years. It started to become obvious, you know, as we got older, because even my younger sister, Carla, he and her, they even had a bond, but she was really outgoing from the moment she came out of the womb. So I don't think she gave him a chance to avoid connecting with her. But, you know, it was something that I needed to work through. And it happened one evening, leaving the farm, my ma's home place. I was around 10. I managed to pluck up the courage and bravery to ask Ma about the situation. Willing to step into the fear to find out more about something I have been confused about for years. And it's a moment stuck in time, one I'll never forget. We had just pulled out of her home place after a sunny summer's day. After spending the whole day on the farm, the sun was fading and we started driving down the lane. Just me and her. As I brought the words to my mouth, I could feel myself sinking into the seat, feeling extremely nervous because I didn't know how she was going to react. Ma, why doesn't Grandma speak to me? In shock, she moved and twisted her body as she moved towards the driver's door, turning to look at me whilst trying to keep her eye on the road. Entering defense mode, her initial reaction was to defend and say, "Ah, sure, don't mind Granda, he's just like that." But she proceeded and asked, "What makes you think that?" And I explained, just as I said previously. She shed a tear. I was confused. She rang Da to ask him to meet us when we get down the road. He had been having a few pints with his friends in the halfway. When we arrived, he came outside. And Ma said, "Ask your dad why your granda doesn't speak to you." So I did. He didn't say anything at first. He paused, put his hand through the window to shake mine and said, "Everything will be okay, Ryan." So I got reassurance and felt somewhat safe that everything was going to be okay. But I was still left confused with no answer to why does he not speak to me. It was from this age I noticed, as a family, we didn't have the tools on how to talk, to resolve issues. Instead, we avoided them. You know, we pushed them down the road for another day. As a boy growing up with these kinds of relationships with my father and grandfather, I took on the belief that I wasn't good enough and allowed it to become my identity, that I, Ryan McDade, am not good enough. So Ryan was insecure. And this is one of the challenges that he took on. It was a story that he wrote, read, and lived, asking questions, how can I be good enough? What can I do to be recognized and seen? Despite this, you know, I still looked up to my dad. He was still my superhero. He was still everything that I wanted to be. I learned all my behaviors and patterns from him. As I entered into my teens, you know, I seen him starting to have his own version of success. And I started to see the world a little differently. You know, he was experiencing abundance. And I soon realized that, You know, he had put so much of his time into building a solid foundation for his family. So I wanted to be like this even more. And being exposed to his work ethic gave me the belief and spark that I could do it too. You know, so I had this burning desire to be like him. I didn't care how I was going to do it, but I was going to get there. And it was something that I instilled in my mind and body. Then maybe I'd be seen, maybe I'd be recognized, and maybe I would be worthy. You know, growing up in this world comes with its fair share of struggles. We are all trying to fit in, trying to find our place, and it's all happening so fast. Family challenges, school challenges, and, you know, sometimes even traumatic things happen. I really found myself enjoying sport from a young age. It became my happy place. My ability was that I was fast, and that ability was able to translate into all sports. With winning comes recognition, so we naturally gravitate towards the things that we feel happiest doing because it's where we get recognized, we feel seen. And it was through my teacher, Manus O'Donnell, who introduced me to sport from a young age and who had a huge influence on me. He threw me into every single sport possible that was going on. And it was athletics that I, you know, that I started to find my way. And this led me to competing in the primary / elementary county championships every year, in which I went undefeated in every sprint and long distance race, except for one that I fell at the start, resulting in dashing for the line with blood running down both legs to finish in fifth place. And it hurt emotionally. This leads to crossing paths with a gentleman called Patsy McGonigal, who is super determined, and he persuaded me to join his club. And after a few years, I did. You know, I found my tribe. I fitted in really well, and I progressed from winning county to province to Irish national titles. And it was through this process that I started to value my self-worth as a boy. And it was to do with athletics. It was my speed. This was the golden era of Ryan. You know, newspaper articles, awards, life was great for young Ryan. It was like I found my superpower, although it didn't last too long. You know, and my dad even came to cheer me on sometimes. And dad was never allowed to take part in sport as a kid. You know, his father always insisted that he must be working. And my parents got to see me in these glory moments right through to my not-so-glory moments. And it was through this period that my grandfather started to talk to me. You know, he took an interest in my athletics, and this led to more conversations. So the new story that I start telling myself was that to be accepted and to feel worthy in this world, I need to achieve. Because it seems that through my achievements, the people are starting to take notice, they're starting to take interest. And the two people in my life that I really wanted to connect with, the two male archetypes, they're now starting to connect and bond in the things that I like doing. But unfortunately, this isn't a healthy way of telling a story for ourselves, whether we are kids or adults. Seeking external validation from others to feel recognized, validated, loved, worthy. You know, winning can be a trap. If we let this become our identity, then we are always going to continue to seek the same high from everyone. And that's when you're faced with losing. And if you lose, then you're in for a rude awakening. So, I didn't understand it at the time because I was a kid. You know, I didn't love myself. I was part of a generational trauma cycle, like most of you out there. I didn't have the tools on how to love myself, on how to validate myself. But my parents didn't have the tools either. And their parents didn't have the tools. And their parents, and their parents, and on and on and on. And it's until we are able to understand on how to love and validate ourselves, it's then we can break the cycle. Validating and loving ourselves from a young age is crucial in how we develop into adults. But we can only help our kids validate and love themselves to the level that we love and validate ourselves. So if you don't love yourself, the chances are that they will turn out the same. The more work you put into improving your health, love, and happiness, the more they will benefit. How you are will transmute to your kids. We are only capable of passing on who and what we are to the level we have achieved ourselves. And it's not based on your words, it's based on your actions, thoughts, and feelings. Your thoughts and feelings are more powerful than your words. So what I'm saying is that kids are more receptive to your actions, your thoughts, and your feelings. Remember, you are a vibrational being. Your thoughts and feelings are vibrations and are the most powerful form of communication that we have, way more powerful than words. So if you're constantly in a negative thought and feeling pattern, it's highly likely that your kids will feel that vibration and absorb that energy, whether you know it or not. So pretending that things are okay, that nothing is happening, isn't a good option. You're better being open, speaking from the fullness of the heart, being true to yourself and them, being honest and seeking solutions. And this isn't all based around kids. It's also to benefit you and the relationship you have with yourself and others. But you must be willing to be aware of who you are and how you have become this way based on the environment you're raised in, to break the generational trauma, to break the behaviors passed down from your ancestors. So as the years rolled on, I finally got the answer as to why my grandfather didn't talk to me. And this wasn't from conversation with him. It was from conversations with my family, relatives, and it led me to understanding the dynamics before I was even born. My father already had two kids, two daughters from two previous relationships, Charlene and Stephanie. My grandfather didn't approve of my father, possibly because of this reason. And from what I've heard, you know, he was always in the run. My father was somewhat a ladies' man, popular. So the fact that his daughter was now pregnant with his third child, he was upset, just like any other father would be, you know, unknown that what was going to happen with his daughter. Well, you know, was she going to be left on her own? Would she not be supported? And, you know, like any father, they would want the best for their daughter. That's normal. But he was hurting so much inside for so many years. And because of his love for his daughter, it was that deep. His only way to deal with that pain was to disconnect from her and to refuse to acknowledge me. He carried that pain for many years, unable to forgive, unable to learn to love in a new way. He learned to understand that his daughter wanted to be with someone, even though he may not have been the man my grandfather would have liked him to be at that time. But it wasn't only him. My father and my mother, they carried the pain too. And of course, me. I absorbed it without any words spoken. I feel for my grandfather, my father, and my mother, a tricky triangle. They all had lessons to learn from it, me included. It leads me to feel love for the people like my grandfather out there who are feeling hurt for their child, who are feeling the best result wasn't achieved, struggling to forgive. I feel love for the people like my father out there who have young kids to multiple women, unsure how to show up as a father at that time, creating chaos without realizing it. I feel love for the people like my mother out there, falling pregnant at a young age without any planning, not feeling supported by their parent or parents. And for the people who are struggling to forgive someone who has hurt you. It sucks. I know what that's like. But you're not forgiving them. You're forgiving yourself for holding on to that pain for so long. The moment you forgive them, that's the moment you forgive yourself and you release that pain. You release that energy. It's like a massive weight has been lifted off your shoulders. Your legs become stronger. You become more stable. You stand taller. You welcome in more joy. And forgiving doesn't mean calling them up and say, hey, I forgive you. You can forgive someone without having to tell them. You can do it in silence from a distance. I'm sure some of you are having family struggles out there right now where a loved one is ignoring you, who won't acknowledge you, who won't reply to your calls, texts, emails, letters. It's as if you never existed to them. The most you can do is feel and send them love from your heart. to visualize them with a golden light pouring down on them directly from the sun, and that your love is being passed to them through that light. And know that nothing is forever, and the more darkness you experience, the more the light will shine. It always finds a way to balance out, always. It's nature. It's just the way of life. We cannot have the light without the darkness. They are two sides of one coin. For me and my grandfather, the grey clouds that hovered over us for years eventually cleared. The light broke through the clouds. It took time to get there, but when it did, it got brighter and brighter. Our bond grew in strength through my teens right up to the point of his passing, where we were able to put it behind us. It was as if it didn't even happen. My mother and him started to talk in the latter years before he left his body. He and my father even started to communicate. I even remember them having conversations and laughing several times in his kitchen. He was a great man. The silver lining truly prevailed, and that I am grateful for. It has been one of my greatest teachers. Growing up, being able to observe and hear about all the happenings around this dynamic that weaved out to other family members. So much I didn't realize as a kid, but as I got older, I was able to look back, reflect, and see why things were the way they were. And I wouldn't change one thing. Families are tough. It's not an easy business. You have together family struggles. You have not together family struggles. You have together / not together combined struggles. You have in-law struggles. You have out of marriage struggles. There is an infinite amount of family struggles. But families create opportunities for us to love in new ways. It's a never-ending journey. I still see it today with my own family, my parents and my siblings and my extended family. It's part of being human. And I can only speak based on my experience. But my parents are my role models. They are fan-fucking-tastic. The ways I have watched them overcome their struggles to come back together has been admirable. The strength my mother has, the mental strength of that woman is phenomenal. Wonder Woman wouldn't have a looking. It's been amazing to watch my father transform over the years, becoming more loving day by day. He's got a huge heart. Observing how they have grown together through thick and thin, recently becoming grandparents and how they show up for the grandkids is just amazing. I'm so, so, so grateful for them in my life. And I know that some of you may be listening to this with a situation that is so far from this. There's still a lot of heartache, pain, and not able to come together. And I know that I'm not able to relate to every situation, but I hope through sharing how growing up with some of the dynamics that I experienced, that things did come good eventually. And that doesn't mean that for things to come good, that you have to repair the relationship with the person you feel detached from. It could mean repairing the relationship that you have with yourself. And most importantly, letting go of what you desire and focusing on desiring yourself. Because that is what I did. I let go of trying to desire and control the outcome and focused on me. It was through this process that enabled me to get on with my life as a teen with my grandfather. You know, I replaced the story of why doesn't my grandfather speak to me to everything will be okay, as told by my dad. And he was right. Everything eventually was okay. And with my dad, who I longed to have a close bond with, I simply let go of trying to be the son I thought he wanted me to be in my mid-teens. And this allowed me to focus on who I wanted to be and what felt right for me. This led me on exploring my own things. And it wasn't until my early 20s that our paths crossed in a way that we started to understand and bond again. And it was in this phase that we learned to speak from the heart to each other, to share our stories, how he was on his own journey, following a path of what he understood to be the best in the way that he could show up for as a father. I listened and understood. I love and admire him for who he is. But his journey wasn't easy. You know, he still had challenges to overcome. His dark moments unfolded in the years that followed. But we got there eventually. And once again, the light broke and has been shining since. And like my relationship with my grandfather became stronger and continues to grow in strength to this day, having watched as a young, tough man grow into a loving, Man, I seen his heart soften, become understanding and a forgiving human with a loving, powerful, strong woman by his side. And I know my parents are my soulmates. I know I chose them before I was born, before I came into this universe, before the human experience. Because in choosing them, I knew I was going to be faced with challenges. It was these challenges that I wanted. It was these specific dynamics that were going to challenge me, to push me towards growth. And through these experiences, I would give myself the opportunity to learn. I've realized that all my family struggles were never against me. They were all for me. The more I fought them, the tougher they became. But when I accepted them and let go, life flowed. So I will continue to accept all the family challenges that come my way with gratitude, knowing that each one is going to bring one, if not many, lessons. Asking, how can I be a better son? How can I be a better brother? How can I be a better cousin? How can I be a better nephew? And ultimately, how can I be a better father? So, I want to thank you for listening to the Infinite Creators, and I ask you to remember that you are the Infinite Creator.